Okay, you have to picture where I'm standing right now. I'm at the bottom of a canyon, mountains going straight up on every side of me, 3,000-4,000 feet of timber and granite, and there is a ribbon of green grass running right down the middle of it. That grass is a runway, and I am standing on it. This is Radio Hangar, I'm Ramp, and this is Ramp Check, and today I'm taking you somewhere that I have wanted to bring you for a long, long time. We are at Johnson Creek, 3 Uniform 2, deep in the Idaho backcountry, and I am telling you right now, if there is a more beautiful place to put an airplane down on this entire continent, I have not found it yet. Let me set the scene for you, because you need to feel this. It's early. The sun hasn't crested the ridge to the east yet, so the canyon is still in shadow, still cool, and there is mist coming up off Johnson Creek itself, the actual creek, which runs right alongside the strip. There are tents pitched in the trees, little dome tents, a couple of those fancy rooftop deals, and airplanes everywhere, tied down in the grass with their wings still wet with dew. A Super Cub here, a Cessna 180 over there with Tundra tires, the size of beach balls, a Maul, a couple of Huskies, and every single one of them flew in here through that canyon, down into this bowl to spend the night under the stars, and then I hear it, hooves. I'm not kidding. I turn around and there is a herd of elk walking down the runway, like they own the place, and you know what they kind of do, because at Johnson Creek the wildlife was here first, and the pilots are just guests. This is incredible. Let me take you there. Before I go any further, let me tell you who's keeping me company on the show today. Today's segment is brought to you by AviationSoul.com, aviation challenge coins for every step of the journey. First solo, private pilot, instrument rating, all the way up. And let me tell you, a strip like this one, a place you have to earn with real stick and rudder skill, this is exactly the kind of milestone worth marking. Mark the milestones that matter. Every coin tells a story, AviationSoul.com. So let's talk about how you even get here, because this is the part that gets pilots fired up. Johnson Creek sits at about 4,900 feet elevation, tucked into the mountains near a little town called Yellow Pine, Idaho. We're talking the Frank Church River of No Return Wilderness Country, some of the most remote, rugged, gorgeous terrain in the lower 48, and the only practical way in for most people is by airplane. The roads are dirt, they're slow, and in the winter they basically don't exist. The runway itself is grass, about 3,400 feet of it, running roughly north to south. And here's the thing that makes your palms sweat just a little when you study the chart. You don't get to pick your runway based on the wind, you pick it based on the terrain, because that canyon climbs out one direction, and the high ground is the other way. Pilots land to the south and take off to the north as a general rule, regardless of which way the breeze is blowing, because you simply cannot outclimb the rising terrain at the other end. The mountain wins every time, so this is a one-way strip in practice. You commit, you come down that canyon, you line up and you're landing. There's no easy go-around once you're committed in there. That's why this place demands respect. That's why you don't just show up here on a whim with 200 hours and a rental Skyhawk and figure it out. The Idaho backcountry will teach you lessons, and some of those lessons are expensive, but oh, when you do it right. When you come down through that gap and the canyon opens up and that green strip is sitting there waiting for you in the morning light, you have to see the... Now here's what I love about Johnson Creek, and it's the reason it's become almost a pilgrimage site for backcountry flyers. The state of Idaho actually maintains this place. The Idaho Division of Aeronautics looks after it, and they have built it up over the years into something really special. There are bathrooms, there are showers, hot showers, in the middle of the wilderness that pilots flew themselves into. There's a campground built right into the trees alongside the strip, fire pits, picnic tables, a pilot's shelter. They even put in an automated weather station so you can get the conditions before you commit to the canyon. And it's free. You fly in, you camp, you don't pay a dime. Idaho funds it through aviation fuel taxes, so in a sense every gallon you've ever burned in that state helped pay to keep this jewel open, pilots taking care of pilots. That's the whole spirit of the backcountry. Let me tell you about the people, because the machines are gorgeous, but it's always the people. I'm walking the rows this morning and I meet a guy named... Well, I'll just call him the Cub Guy, because half the people out here are Cub Guys. He's got a bright yellow Piper Super Cub, and he tells me he flew in from Boise yesterday afternoon, about an hour and change of flying, and he does this trip a dozen times a summer.
He's got a little cot rigged up that fits right inside the cargo area of the cub. He sleeps in his airplane. He makes his coffee on a camp stove on the wing strut, and he says to me, he says, 'This is church. This is where I come to remember why I learnt to fly in the first place.' And I get it. I completely get it."
A few tie-downs over there's a family. Mom, Dad, two kids, maybe 8 and 10 years old. They flew in together in a Cessna 185. The whole family camping gear strapped down in the back, fishing poles, the works. And the kids are down by the creek right now with a net looking for whatever kids look for in a mountain stream. And I'm thinking, what a way to grow up. What a thing to have your parents load you into an airplane and fly you into the wilderness for the weekend. Those kids are going to be pilots. You can just tell. That's the human story out here. It's not one famous person, it's a whole culture. It's hundreds of pilots who learned a hard, demanding skill set so they could bring their families and their friends into a piece of country that most people will never, ever see. And the flying. Let me geek out for just a second about the airplanes, because the backcountry has its own breed. The Super Cub is the king out here, has been for decades. That fat wing, those big tires, it'll get in and out of almost anything. But the modern backcountry scene has gotten wild. You've got the Cubcraft as Carbon Cub, basically a Super Cub on steroids, lightweight, more power, will practically hover into a strip. You've got the Aviat Husky. You've got guys flying Cessna 170 and 180s and 185s with big Tundra tires and modified flaps and vortex generators on the wings to bring that stall speed down. Because in the backcountry, every knot of stall speed you can shave off is runway you don't need. And then occasionally somebody flies in with something that just makes the whole ramp stop and stare. This morning it was a Pilatus Porter, a big single-engine turbine, this Swiss workhorse, and the pilot greased it onto that grass, and the whole campground gave a little nod of respect. That airplane was built for exactly this short, rough, high-altitude strips. It looked right at home. Now I want to talk about something that matters, because Johnson Creek isn't just pretty, it's a teacher, and sometimes a stern one.
This is high country, 4,900 feet of elevation, and in the summer it gets hot, and you put those two things together and you get density altitude. On a warm afternoon, the air up here performs like you're at 7,000-8,000 feet. Your engine makes less power. Your propeller bites less air. Your wing needs more speed over the ground to fly. Your takeoff roll gets longer and your climb rate gets anemic, right, exactly when you need to climb out of a canyon. So the smart pilots, the ones who keep coming back year after year, they fly in the cool of the morning and the cool of the evening. They don't load up heavy and try to blast out of here at 2 in the afternoon in August. They respect the air. They do their performance calculations for real, not just as a checkride exercise. The backcountry does not forgive the pilot who treats density altitude as somebody else's problem. And I'll be honest with you, that's part of why this place is sacred to the people who fly it, because it asks something of you. It demands that you be a better pilot than you were yesterday. You can't buy your way in. You can't autopilot your way in. It's you, your hands, your judgment, and that canyon.
Let me take you down to the creek for a second, because the morning is warming up now and the sun is finally hitting the grass. The mist is burning off the frost. What little there was is gone. You can smell wood smoke from somebody's campfire and bacon, somebody's cooking bacon, and it is mixing with the smell of pine and wet grass and a little bit of avgas, and I'm telling you, that is the smell of the best morning of your life. There are people in camp chairs with coffee mugs just watching the airplanes. A Husky fires up down at the south end. That little four-cylinder coming to life and echoing off the canyon walls, and everybody turns to watch him taxi out, because that's the show. The airplanes coming and going all day. Threading that canyon is the entertainment.
And when one of them lifts off and climbs out to the north and banks away through the gap and the sound fades and it's quiet again, just the creek and the wind in the trees. Man, there's nothing like it. If you want to fly into Johnson Creek yourself, and you should, here's my honest advice. Get backcountry training first. There are terrific mountain flying courses, a lot of them right there in Idaho. McCall is a great base, where instructors who've flown these strips 1,000 times will teach you canyon turns, how to read terrain, how to judge a one-way strip, how to handle density altitude for real. Idaho's aviation folks and the Recreational Aviation Foundation, the RAF, have put a ton of work into keeping these strips open and teaching people to use them safely. Lean on that. don't be the cautionary tale that makes the news, and check the weather, check the notices, and call ahead if you can, because conditions in the mountains change fast, and the Strip can have its own rules depending on the season and what the wildlife and the maintenance crews are up to. But do it. Put it on your list, earn the skills, do the training, and then go fly yourself into a canyon in the Idaho wilderness, and pitch a tent under your wing, and listen to the elk in the morning. I came in here thinking I was going to tell you about a runway. And I guess I did. But really, this place isn't about the runway, it's about what the runway lets you reach. A whole world that you can only get to if you learn to fly. That's the gift. That's the entire reason any of us ever climbed into that first trainer and sweated through that first lesson. My thanks to the Idaho Division of Aeronautics for keeping this place alive and to the Recreational Aviation Foundation for fighting to keep backcountry strips open all over the West. You can find more from the show over at radiohanger.com. I've got a hot shower waiting and a canyon to climb out of before the air gets thin. So from the bottom of the most beautiful runway in America, this is Ramp. Go get your mountain training, and I'll see you out here.